Last week, there was a headline in the Lancaster paper, and it was about this cyber attack. And the subheadline said, "But the full extent of damage is unknown." And I sighed as I read this. And I sighed and I even grimaced, not because I was so concerned about the particularities of the cyber attack, but I found it to be just one more of an endless series of headlines this year that didn't just tell us how bad things were, but told us that it could even be worse. In so many ways, 2020 has been a year of fear. Fear of the COVID virus, fear of people being too close to us, fear of going to the grocery store, fear of economic downturn, fear of turmoil on our streets, fear of political consequences in our nation, fear of mutations in the virus. The list goes on and on and on. There have been a relentless stream of headlines on our screens, on our phones, in our papers, telling us to be afraid. And so we've just eaten this diet of fear. And after a year, we realize that at the best, we're numb to it. And at the worst, we realize it's toxic, draining us away, taking our vitality and our hope. And so I bring you the words of the angel. I bring you the words of the angel to the shepherd that are also for you this day. And that is, do not be afraid. These are the words of the angel to the shepherds, and they are the words to us this day. Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy that shall be for all of the people. Again, the angel says, no, do not be afraid this day, for I bring you good news of great joy for all of the people. We are all hungry for a word, for good news, for a word of joy even. And I think this Christmas, we have sought to find this joy, to find a message that was not of fear. And sometimes we have sought this in the past, recalling Christmases long, long ago with many beautiful memories. But unfortunately, when we dwell on the past, we inevitably come to a bittersweet moment where we realize the past is no longer the present, and that it is not this year the way we would like it to be. And our loved ones we suddenly miss upon reflecting on the past. So the past is not the path to joy. But maybe then we consider the future. And this year we certainly have high hopes for 2021. I think many of us wrote off 2020 a long time ago, but we have said, no, 2021, that's going to be better. And it will be. But we all know that much of what's happened in our world this year is going to carry over next year. And so we quickly discover that if we want to find joy in the future, there's cause for concern there as well. That's not simply where joy is to be found. No, the shepherds give us some guidance today on how to find the joy that we seek, how to finally turn off the bad news, the fear news that is unrelenting. And they say, this day to you is born a Savior. This day, they call us, the angels, their proclamation calls us to the moment, to the now, here and now, to this day, to Christmas Day. And the angel says to the shepherds, you are to go and you shall find a sign, and it shall be a baby. The joy of Christmas is when we move our reflection away from the past, away from the future and to the present and to the Christ child. And there is something really beautiful about a newborn. And there's something precious about imagining what it was like for the shepherds, for Mary and Joseph, for those first moments of Jesus' life. Again, there's something so miraculous about a young child. You know, when their whole hand can barely even fit around your pinky. And you know, the skin and the hair on a newborn, it's different. It's different for those first couple hours in that first day. And there's just something so miraculous, so precious in a newborn. And this day we're invited to, to ponder and to dwell with the shepherds and be amazed by the wonder of this child, baby Jesus, of the Christ child. Again, there's a joy that comes in just considering the miracle of a baby. If I have ever visited parents on the first day when their child is born, there's this glow that parents have. Literally, love is in the room. And they don't know at all what they've gotten themselves into. They just simply are just elated that there's a child. But if I've ever visited parents on the third day or the fourth day after they have had a child, they have this look in their eyes that says to me, "Pastor, why has the human race continued? This is so much work, and I am so tired." And you look at them and say, "You're going to be this tired for months on end." But no, out of compassion, you affirm them that this too shall be okay. Turns out that children are a lot of work, especially babies. And so there's something profound that Jesus, God's Son, comes to us as a baby. For you see, the angel's proclamation also declares that this isn't simply a child wrapped in cloths, but this is the Lord. And the word Lord here doesn't simply just mean master of the house or of the manor or of the estate. The word Lord here from the angel to the shepherds meant God, the God of Israel. And so here we have God beyond all human comprehension, who can unfurl the skies with ranks of angels who sing cosmic and celestial praise, chooses somehow to be born as an infant. And again, there's something mysterious and wonderful about this. But there's also something so perplexing that God chooses to be born as a child, and a child who has desperate needs. Human children are weak. We have no capacity for self-sufficiency for years. At this point, the baby Jesus is totally dependent on Mary and Joseph for food, for warmth, for comfort, for shelter, for love. In all of the Greco-Roman myths, whenever the gods come in human form, they come as avengers or to sort of take and plunder what they want. But instead, God chooses to come as a baby who's fully dependent on at least two other people, if not countless more. And this is a strange revelation that causes me great joy, that God chooses to enter this world dependent on us as humans. And the great joy that I find in this is that as God enters human history in Jesus Christ, that God also invites us into God's story. And that this new chapter in human history that's about the love of Jesus Christ is also then about our love towards each other. And that God is declaring that God has a part for you to play in this whole drama. Again, there's a great and sublime joy in knowing that God needs you. The gifts and talents and skills that God has given to you, just like God gave talents and gifts to Mary and to Joseph, God has called you into this, co-opted you into this act of love. And I think on Christmas Day, we're especially then reminded of the call, the duty, and the joy that we have then to love the next generation who are totally dependent. And the beautiful thing about this story is that whether it's Mary and it's your own biological child, or Joseph, a child to whom God has entrusted to you, again, we have this sacred joy and obligation of loving and passing on faith and hope to the next generation. And it just struck me, too, as I thought about this church and how much of our ministry here is dedicated to raising the next generation. This week, I saw Deacon Emily with children from the Early Learning Center here in a chapel. I think every day about 100 kids come in here and entrust us to their care. I think about the ministries that we support through our charity Power Packs, the Refugee Children in Lancaster, or the fact we have a wood shop at this church that makes toys for children. I think about our Sunday school and all the stuff we've done during Advent and so forth. Again, there's a way in which it is a joy to know that we have a part a part to play in the raising and loving of the next generation, for God chooses to come among us as a child. But I want to be careful, lest I totally miss the mark or totally misunderstood here. Christmas finally isn't that God depends on us to save the world. God depends on us to love each other each day. But the angel makes a proclamation that finally God has chosen to take a new step in the salvation of the world, to take matters literally into his own hands, his hands that will be stretched out on a cross. No, for you was born a Savior. For you see, as humans, unfortunately, this thing called fear, it's not just 2020, but fear is always creeping into our hearts and bringing out cruelty and the worst things in us. This has plagued us as a human species. And God knows it's going to take more than a lecture, more than an inspiration, more than a commissioning to get rid of the fear that plagues the human heart. It will take a Savior who will bring about a new creation, a world in which there is no more need for fear. So my prayer is that for us this Christmas, that in a world that, again, is plagued by news of fear, we might dwell in and focus on the good news. The good news that there's a child who's born. And that this child is one who will save the world ultimately. And until that salvation is full, God is with us, uniting us in Christ's love to love each other. And certainly this day we remember to love the next generation and the children. And so I proclaim to you what was proclaimed to the shepherds so long ago. Good news of great joy for all the people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Amen.